Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another Roll'em Cast episode, as we're calling these now. Carl, as always, joined with Dakota.
Hello, everybody.
And if you're listening to the podcast, just know that we do have a correlating video over on the YouTube where we will be showing a lot of the cards and things that we're talking about, but we'll, you know, explain them in best detail we can here, of course. But we are going to talk about the season 4 of A Song of Ice and Fire, the miniatures game today. We said we were coming back to some song content, and you know, here we are.
Yeah, so today just the season 4 updates came out. We're just going to do kind of a quick little, not necessarily a full overview, but we're just going to kind of go through one by one and talk about some of the things that we see that we liked.
If you would like to check out this change log, it is on asoif.cmon. Yeah, cmon.com. And then you click on the articles tab and then season 4 updates available. And then that'll be the change log. You can follow along with the podcast. We will be flipping back and forth kind of between the changelog and the rulebook and some of the cards and such. But, or you just sit down, listen, and let's have some fun. Starting us off here, working our way down the changelog, we have some rulebook changes. So just scroll down through the rule book here. First thing is they changed something in this passing a turn. Now, should preface this episode with saying that in large part, I've been away from the game for about 2 years now. Really a year and a half. I haven't looked at hardly anything. I'd peek every once in a while, but that was about it. So this passing a turn thing, like, I have never played a game with this being a thing.
Same. I haven't played in about 6 months, and that change came up for season 3. We're now on season 4, and I didn't play any of season 3. So
okay. So passing a turn, at the start of the game, both players will count how many total non-combat and combat units they have in their armies. The player with the least amount of total units in the army at this time gains the ability to pass their turn twice per game. If both players have the same total number of units, neither player gains this effect. The effect is, once per round, at the start of their turn, the player that gained the ability to pass may elect to forego activating a unit, instead moving from the start of turn step to the end of turn step. They may do this twice per game. I believe it's been twice per game the whole time. I don't know what about that text has changed, but it seems fairly straightforward. I don't think I dislike it. Because activation is, you know, activation advantage has always been a thing. As much as some people would argue that it's not because you're bringing stronger units, this, that, it is. Activation advantage has always been a thing. This is them kind of acknowledging that without, you know, doing anything too aggressive, because anything too aggressive and now you're giving people with big, strong, beefy units an advantage that they shouldn't be having. So I'm good with that. I know we kicked around the idea a long time ago of like, if you have a turn, right, but you're completely activated and your opponent still has activations, and you have a turn, you, like, one unit can make a 2-inch shift, or you could put one card, you could draw a new card and then put one card back into your deck, or just, like, a little something. This is a different version of a little something. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think it's fine.
I haven't played with it, so, I mean, I'm undecided on it. There's a part of me that's like, Free Folk can still take like 9, 10, 11 units, and then my Baratheon still takes 7, and even if I pass a turn, it's not going to do anything. So, you know,
You know, it's better to get something than nothing, because Free Folk are going to out-activate you anyways.
Yeah. I mean, that's their style.
And it is once per round, so you can't use both of them in the same round.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the verbiage that was changed from previous editions or not.
They might have added it in this. They might have put it in there and just actually added it to the rulebook. Who knows?
If anyone does know, like, drop it in the comments and we'll give it a bunch of thumbs so that people can kind of find that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the next thing really is you're going to have to scroll all the way down, I think, to basically page 26 of the rulebook.
Okay.
I am correct, and it is essentially in Battlefield setup. There's a new Battlefield layout section.
There is one change on page 16 in the perform attack part. Once in their final position, the attacker will then perform one melee attack. This is not a separate action. Against the defender, see melee attack page 15. This attack gets the bonus of being able to reroll any attack dice. Charge bonus. So it's the attack post-charge. I don't know what they
added there. I don't know either. No.
Unless they just added the... Because they have it in parentheses. This is not a separate action. Like... So I don't
know.
Yeah,
we've
had that come up before. You know,
probably just a way they wanted to throw it in there to like clean up words.
Yeah, because I do remember. I can't remember specifically the event, but there used to be a thing where it was like, "Oh, I charged, and now I'm attacking. Like this is a new action." I think it was like a card draw thing, maybe on a Lannister attachment.
Yeah, there was something. I don't specifically remember.
Yeah, it was an argument years ago. But yeah, I don't know if that's it or not.
And actually, missed two. There is one on page 21 under timing conflicts, orders, and tactics cards. I mean, it's pretty much. I don't know. I'm reading it. It seems the same rule. Sometimes a player will have multiple tactics cards and/or order abilities with the same trigger. In these situations, that player may only ever use one order or tactics card in response to that trigger. And that's normal.
Yeah.
Also note that when an order or tactics card is used in response to a trigger, all the targets to that card must be declared before the effect is resolved.
Maybe that was added.
Maybe, yeah. The example is player A has a tactics card that triggers when a friendly unit attacks. One of their attachment also has an order ability that triggers when a friendly unit attacks. When their unit attacks, they may only select one of those effects. That's pretty straightforward. Maybe they just added that second paragraph.
Yeah, maybe they just cleaned it up or something.
Yeah,
but that's,
which is I don't know how much they've cleaned up targeting.
I'll say unless something crazy happened in the last year and a half, and then now they're going back to maybe an old style. I doubt it because that's kind of always been a cornerstone of this game. Like one trigger gets an order or a tactics card.
Yeah. Oh, one other thing. We're scrolling through this, and the neutral limit is. Now 12 points, not 20 points anymore. I don't know if you're aware of that.
30%.
30%, yeah.
30%.
So in a 40-point game, it's 12 points.
You're right. A 30-point game, it would it be 8 or 9?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But
no,
it's not 33%.
Yeah.
30%. Yes.
Yeah.
Because I kind of did that same thing earlier.
Yeah, and I'm just sitting here like, yeah, and then I'm like, wait, never mind.
Yeah, it's because when they were talking about, we'll get there. What page is that on?
It is on 23. What's your thought on that? I mean,
we have a new on page 22 also.
Oh, we do?
Very bottom left, something on orders. Orders are powerful abilities, once per round, specific trigger, blah, 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 blah. The part that says new... The unit with the order is the target of that order, if any. But note that target and effect might list additional targets as well. Yeah, that's you know, a unit has always targeted itself with the order, even if it doesn't, like, say it targets the enemy. Even if it doesn't say it targets itself.
The thing is there are some where you get, it's real weird, where you're like, oh, that targets myself. I think one of them's like...
If it's throw a token on an enemy, it literally might be an order that says this unit activates, throw a token on an enemy. Well,
I know there's
that order targets the unit that is putting out the token also.
Yeah.
And I think that was just maybe just some cleaning up there.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that. I do remember. I don't think that really cleaned up much, because then it made it like, oh, this unit is now, I don't know. It's probably cleaned up in some way. I don't know. All right, moving back on. Oh, back to the neutral points limit. What do you think? So what do you think about the 30%? I don't think you've played since it's dropped. I don't know if I even played much since it's dropped. What are your thoughts on it?
It's probably going to be wonderful. Stops like double flayed men, which we've, I don't know how it's been last year and a half, but I know it's been a thing the entire game. There's always that one, someone always has a list or a build or a commander or whatever where they're like, well, I'm grabbing two units of flayed men for this guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know they've tried flayed men at 8 points, they've been 10, they've probably been 9.
No. Yeah, I don't think I have too much of an opinion. I mean, basically, too, it allows you to take one NCU and one flayed men, or like three neutral NCUs and no units. It's or two units and like an attachment. It's I think it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's just
if anyone out there is wondering how to calculate it, by the way. You take whatever points you're playing and you multiply it by 0.3. Just FYI.
But anyways, moving on from that. Okay, are we finally now to... Yeah, we're to the terrain, like I was saying, which is on page... Actually, I think in the changelog it does say 26, but it's actually 27 where it starts being new. So they have battlefield layouts. So instead of selecting... terrain pieces, the amount and pool of available pieces can be randomly determined. Any one of the players may roll 1d6 die to determine which battlefield layout is available. Once that is done, continue setup as normal. Basically, they gave us six options of just like not preset, but like predetermined
groups of terrain.
Mm-hmm. I don't dislike this. I'd like to play with it. I think it's better than... I think this would be good in a tournament aspect where instead of TOs just doing like random at every table, they roll a 1d6 and then be like, oh, every table right now is doing option 4.
Yep.
And then that's just the option.
Yeah.
And then even to the whole like player picked, it literally always turns into corpse piles and weirwood trees.
Yes. I'm assuming that part of the game hasn't changed in the last year and a half because it was that way for... three whatever years that we were, you know, in Song. We did was Song for a long time.
I mean, this would technically be like year 5, man.
I think so. It's been a minute. Uh-huh. So,
but I mean, it's just a way to not do random specifically, but to do like better random, I think.
So there is no one of these options that has a weirwood and a corpse pile on it. Huge fan.
Nice. I am a huge fan of that as well.
So on a 1, you have weirwood clearing, a weirwood, 2 forest, and a hedge. Okay? On a 2, somber battlefield, stakes, corpse pile or forest, low wall or bog. Corpse pile or forest is x2, by the way.
Yeah.
The first one, forest, is x2.
Mm-hmm.
So you have... I would hope that in a tournament setting for like that one where it's corpse pile or forest x2, they're going, hey, one corpse pile, one forest. Or maybe they just go double forest and be like, you know, no one gets corpse pile.
That's the same thing. As I'm looking at these, I think the first 2 and 3, they both have corpse piles, which...
They have or corpse piles. So you could go corpse pile-less.
Yeah. Which, and honestly, like...
On all of them, actually.
That's the one thing I always hate it when it's like, oh, you're running the panic list and we only have... There's one corpse pile, but, like, it directly affects you.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, that's... It's just helping feed your army with what it wants. So, I mean...
Do they say how this terrain gets placed?
I think it's just regular placement. Like you just pull it out of that pool.
So
almost like the random pool where you go back and forth.
Do players place it then?
Yeah,
Like they would roll off and be like, okay, you got the higher one, you get to play the first piece, so on and so forth. Okay. This may come into play also when we get to these deployment changes, which is actually up next.
I don't know if it would determine. I mean, you would go to
Well, let's go over the deployment change first. So you have once battlefield is set up, so after terrain is placed, player who rolls the highest may choose their deployment. So they're going to re-roll off here, okay?
You basically set terrain before you do deployments.
So you're going to roll off. The player who rolls the highest may choose their deployment zone or pass this choice to their opponent. The player who does not choose their deployment zone will choose who will be the first player when the game begins. So the player who does not choose deployment zone. So we roll off, you win. You can choose deployment zone or you can make me choose deployment zone. The new part, the player who chooses their deployment zone also chooses who deploys first. Then each player alternates deploying one combat unit battlefield, continue until everything's been deployed. So that's the new part. It used to be whoever chose the deployment zone deployed first. And a lot of times, like, I didn't actually care which side I was deployed.
That's usually how battlefields get set up.
I want you to choose what side you're getting deployed on because I want you to deploy first.
I think in the last, I haven't played for 6 months. In the 6 months prior, whenever I'd play, if I won the role, I would always just defer so that I could choose first player because that's to me, it's like, okay, I'm gonna deploy in a certain way anyways. Yeah, you can try to counter deploy me and then you can fuck up your deployment, because you're gonna deploy wrong trying to just counter what I'm doing. And then I get to determine who gets that essentially alpha strike round if they want it.
Sure.
First, like that start of round two type of deal. Because I mean that's always strong.
I think I like this because it breaks up the if this, then that. If you choose deployment zone, then you deploy first. This is, I'm going to make them choose deployment zone, but they're going to pick who deploys first. So then, if you were super worried about deployment versus who is going first and second round one, then you would actually choose deployment zone. You might be more inclined to choose deployment zone, and then that way you make them deploy first. Especially like as a free folk player against Baratheons, for example, if you only have four drops,
Yeah, you don't care.
I want you dropping first.
Actually, I don't know if you care, but yeah, you'd want them dropping first.
Right. So I like it. I like it. It's okay.
Yeah, not too bad. I think that is then it
Yeah.
for the rule book
There
changes.
is a new game mode where it's banners and butchery.
We're
We're
not gonna
not getting
talk.
into it right now because
Yeah.
we haven't learned the game mode yet. And it 24-inch deployment zones, so deployment zones butt up against each other. That's
Interesting.
interesting. But yeah,
I will just say I
that'll
looked
get to
at
be its
it and
own thing.
I looked at it and I have mixed feelings about it. I'm not sure what I th you know what I think.
I looked at
But
it and was confused very quickly and was like, I'm not gonna worry about this today.
yep. There were some tournament guideline changes. I looked through it. There really wasn't too much going on with it. It was mostly just I think they set like specific game modes for that. Oh, and then they added this like can't commander elimination format. Basically, instead that of a two list, it's three list with three separate commanders. Once you use a commander, you can't reuse the commander.
Okay,
So
okay.
if you're playing three rounds, you end up using three different commanders instead of just being like, oh, I'm gonna play the one OP commander.
Sure,
I
yeah.
mean, it'll help if the meta gets wild again.
I like that a lot.
I do too. Yeah, it was nice. But now we're going to get kind of into the meat and potatoes of these changes. So now we're going to go through kind of every faction. We're only going to pick out two things that we like from each, not linger too much on them, and then kind of go on to the next one. We'll discuss what we picked for it, and then move on. Some of the factions, they don't have too many changes, so there might be two changes, and obviously we're going to pick those two things. So I'm going to start us out with Starks here. The two changes that I liked are I like Roderick Cassell, and honestly, I'm a huge fan of my number two is hard to pick. I'm a huge fan of the loyalist change, the Karstark loyalist change. That's kind of my two.
Okay.
What were the two that you picked? Did you pick two for the Starks?
My number one was Roger Cassell.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like the change to the Outriders.
Okay. Okay.
So all right. So we'll start with Cassell here.
Yeah. So I'll read them off here. Martial expertise. Each time Roderick claims a sword, target one enemy combat unit, they become vulnerable. That's still the same. The second part changed for him, which is each time a friendly combat unit is performing a melee attack after rolling attack dice, you may remove one order token from him. If you do, the attacker may reroll any attack dice.
Yeah.
That to me, I think that's an awesome change. I'm not saying he's going to make every list, but I do want him in more lists now.
It protects you from disorderly charges.
And it keeps you, so you charge in, you don't kill him. Maybe you go to reactivate and you don't have anything giving you rerolls.
Right, right.
It lets you just trigger a reroll.
Sure.
To like help you kill it. Because the one thing that sucks with Starks is when they can't kill what they want to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, you're just living on like one wound because out of my seven attack dice, two hit. And you failed them both.
Right, right.
Great. Yep. Everybody loves that.
It helps Starks do Stark things without being like,
yeah,
insane.
Yeah, it's only two, so it's
twice per game.
Yeah. I mean, you can just save them for pivotal times.
Sure.
Going into the loyalists now, just because they were kind of next, they changed basically all their abilities. So they now have Ferocious Assault. Each enemy successfully charged become panicked. They gave their flail vicious. Mm-hmm. And then each time this unit performs a melee attack before rolling attack dice, target the defender for each of this unit's destroyed ranks. The defender becomes panicked or vulnerable. So basically, you're down ranks. You can put an additional token on it. So you can start like stacking them up. I'm a fan. It gives Starks token play. And it also gives them a unit with vicious. They have a couple now, but it just makes them not the same as Sworn Swords, basically. I mean, that's kind of what they were before. There was like, do I take Sworn Swords or them? They're very much the same type of unit.
Yeah, it's nice because they're hitting on a 4+.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can be very lackluster. Giving them the token play.
Mm-hmm.
Because you would, with a 5 movement, these guys can get the charge.
Yeah.
Panicked and vicious. It's very likely that whomever they charge fails that.
Yep.
And then as long as they do a wound on the attack, of course, and you can get 3 wounds, or you know, you get 2 on the attack, 2 wounds through the panic, whatever you may be, then mm-hmm. the next time they attack, they get to do a panic token again because you're down a rank.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to bring Vicious, which is going to help get you down to that last rank, and now they're going to Vulnerable and Panic.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. They save on a 4+, 6+ morale. So, you know, they can stick around.
So for each one of this unit's destroyed ranks, not the Defender's destroyed ranks.
Oh, I missed that part. Okay.
So it goes a little bit more into the Starkness of being down ranks. So mm-hmm. less good, but still good.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Do Stark still have any ability to like peel wounds off of someone and put them on someone else or anything like that?
They've never really had that other than Mage. She has a tactics card of like, it's like regroup and reform. Mm-hmm. You peel 3 off, heal a different unit. So yeah. She has it.
Okay.
And then Great John, he has the a lot of his stuff just like your unit takes its own damage.
Sure, sure.
Congratulations.
Right.
So it's got some plays. I mean, they're a 5-point unit. I'm not, you know, I think the second part when it pops off, it'll be good. But mostly like you're charging and panicking and with Vicious, like awesome combo.
Okay, and then for my second pick here was mm-hmm. the Outriders. Moving on a 6. 4/7 on attack dice. Hitting on a 4+. They still have ambush, which is successfully charged from flank or rear, become panicked and weakened. But they have the... They used to have like a swift retreat kind of thing.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Well, now they have tactical reposition. Start of enemy turn. Target one friendly unit in short range. They perform a 3-inch shift. Those are just always nice. You can use them to... first off, a unit is always within range of itself. So you could move the Outriders, you know, 3 inches. You could move a friendly unit. You may move them out of line of sight. You may move them, you know, the other side of a low wall to help you on defensively. You may move a unit in front of the Outriders, maybe to body block for them. Just a lot of, you know, subtle little movement tricks there. I like those.
Yeah. It can even do, you can even use it like aggressively too, where you're like, oh, my unit of telecav, they can't quite get your flank for how you set up, but when I shift them 3, they're totally going to get your flank on their next charge. I mean, I would agree. They're pretty good. I think a lot of the Stark changes are actually very good, except for one. But I mean, I look at the Stark stuff and I'm like, yeah, it all makes sense. Well, except for 2, maybe. And I like them. But yeah.
Cool.
All right, moving on. So after Starks, now we have the Lannisters. Carl, why don't you kick us off? Tell us the first 2 things that you like.
All right, so the first thing that I went and looked up when I saw the House Lannister changes here was the changes to Overrun. I was like, okay, let me go check out the new Overrun, and it is it's still, you know, when a friendly unit surges forth, so after you've killed someone with a melee attack, you get your surge forth. Instead of surging forth, that unit performs one charge or march action. I think that's really nice. Because you never wanted to discard an Overrun, whether it be Gregor, this is just the first time I saw it. But, you know, Tormund, Khal Drogo, it probably exists in other places still. You never wanted to discard it because it was such an amazing card, but it was also very difficult to pull off sometimes.
Yeah.
This lets you use it as a march, at least, you know. So if you're not going to end up with a charge, you can march somewhere and pivot, and then next turn or whatever. It just... It's a lot more ease of use.
For sure. It's not something dead in your hand. I know Greyjohn had his change too, and I first saw it and I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, you can march and actually, maybe you can't charge a unit like efficiently, where you're like, oh, my charge is long charge that I don't want to try, but you're like, I can just march straight and completely get out of line of sight and not get shot or turned on, or
maybe
nothing.
maybe it's end of round and you're going first next round anyways, or you're like, all right, I'm not gonna worry about, you know, if I march, maybe I can get into a flank next time. Like, I could charge this, maybe it'd be a 9. If you have Clegane, you get to reroll.
Okay.
Or maybe I march and then I can charge a flank next round. Or it's like, okay, so
yeah,
for sure. Awesome You like anything out of Lannisters?
Lannisters are pretty straightforward. They kind of, I don't want to, the 2 things that I would say I like. So I like the changes to Pycelle. He got a nerf, but I like it. Because, so he used to just be every time he cleaned up zone, give a weakened out.
Sure.
Now he's at least got order tokens on him to be like, you know, limited.
Yeah,
because like, how many times did you play Lannisters and... By round 2, he's got 2 units weakened because he's claimed the bags both times. So you're like, oh, my army isn't going to do anything. I'm
like,
weakened.
By the end of round 2, if they don't take the tactic zone away from you, you're like, all right, well, now you 4 of your units are weakened.
Exactly. Yeah, they just weaken your whole army. Sure. You're like, eh. The other thing I like, just because I won't mention it when we get to Baratheons, is they gave Kingsguard resilience. They also gave Rainbow Guard resilience. I think that's a solid change for both of those. it is an order, but it's one wound for every two unblocked hits. Mm-hmm. They're only 8 wound units. So it's like, I think it makes sense. It makes them tankier.
You got to hit them twice in a round to really punch anything through.
Yeah, and with how like attack dice have really been toned down, like, oh, you don't get that much through, well, no big deal. I'm not going to just get one shot because I have only 8 wounds like starting out. Because they give them pretty impressive stats other than 8 wounds.
Yeah. My second pick for Lannisters was Qyburn.
Mm-hmm.
Qyburn begins the game with 3 order tokens on him. Each time an enemy NCU activates, you may remove 1 order token from Qyburn. If you do, choose 2 zones. If that NCU claims either of those zones this turn, after resolving the zone's effects, target up to 2 enemy combat units, they become vulnerable. So we've seen these kind of choose 2 zones. If they take either one, this thing happens before.
Yeah.
And they've always been crazy good.
Mm-hmm.
They've always been to the point where you're like, all right, well, I'm just going to not take any zones with this NCU. And, like, that's a really feels bad play.
Yeah.
I'm trying to... Baratheon's had one, right? You had... Dude's name started with an A.
No. They have the one that can switch the zones.
Oh, they used to have... They had a Renly dude. Didn't Axel Florent's old one? No.
You're thinking of Alistair Florent? No, he could always just switch zones. Like, and he could do, like, low-grade Peter Baelish.
No, basically. That wasn't it. I know you had the one Renly dude had a really nasty heal if you picked up his...
Penrose. Courtney Penrose. He did have it where... Yeah, if you picked one of the two zones and you actually selected it,
I thought Stannis had heal. A 1-2.
No, it was
real bad.
It wasn't. It was just. It was Courtney. Yeah, I do remember that
Mance
now.
Mance Raider used to have one.
Mance Raider still has one.
Does he? Well, it was
the predictable maneuvers. Yeah,
it was like really feels bad sometimes because it used to do like 4 wounds or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, oh. Like, oh, you're going to activate... Okay, well, now that unit's dead. Anyways. 2 vulnerable tokens?
It's good, but not oppressive.
Yeah, it's palatable, right? Yep. Like, it's twice per game.
It's 3 times per game.
Oh, it is 3 times per game. Yes. Oh, it's 2 zones. Yeah, that's the part I was looking at.
I mean, he's good. He is good. But
It looks like, so far what I've looked at, NCUs are doing a little bit less.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of that because I think NCUs used to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, it's 5 points of your army that the vast majority of the game doesn't have access to kill.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely ruining this game. Like, it's taken over.
Yep.
You know, think about, like, this one's not as extreme, but, like, original Cersei. Where it was like the panic test, but remember you used to be able to do...
You could like stack it way
up.
You used
to be able to do like 9 wounds on panic test.
Yeah, you're like, oh, you're a -8 and you're going to take 9 wounds on that thing.
It used to be bananas.
Yeah, that was way back. Yeah, no, for sure.
But like things like that where you're like, how's this person doing this? Like it's 10% of your list and it's just melting unit after unit. The Red Witch, the Baratheon chick that would just absolutely floor an army.
She still can to an extent, but it's the whole flooring. Yeah, just basically nuking units.
It seems like NCUs are doing a little less these days.
I'm a fan of that. It's a war game.
Huge fan. Yes, I understand. To me, it's a... We're adding the subterfuge and, you know, I get it, but at the same time, it's a war game.
Yeah.
Tywin won the war without being on the bed. I don't care. Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up. That was one time. Be quiet.
Next up here.
Next up, we got Zen Night's Watch.
Oh, I'm going to just take this one first.
Go for it.
Yeah, everything. I just love everything they did to Night's Watch. The Night's Watch can just, you know, get fucked. A
lot of old animosity towards Night's Watch.
Okay, so you're gonna, everybody's gonna look at this and be like, holy lord, they did some stuff to Night's Watch here. And honestly, even if you read their notes, they, even in their like designer commentary, they put medium expertise range where they're oppressive. And I'm like, okay, so basically you're saying they just mid stomp all the mid tables and then lose at the top table? Sure, maybe. But like, it's not fun for anybody to play against.
Right.
Like, so, but yeah, everybody knows their old mechanics. So they basically, they changed a lot. Their old mechanics wise, they play a card, it sticks to a unit, and all of a sudden that unit gets like 8 cards on it. Main thing that they changed, which I'll just say I like this as a thing I like, is they now created, they redid every tactics card to basically have 2 triggers. They can play it when they do a thing. So like friendly units performing a melee attack before rolling attack dice, they get like a tactics card to play, or they can play it when a unit activates and then they attach it and they'll get like a small buff. But then all of those small buffs that they attach, if they fail a panic test, they can get thrown out.
Yes.
That was, I'm a huge fan of that.
That was my number one. Night's Watch cards fall off with failed panic.
Because
it has been so overdue.
Mm-hmm. I was even thinking about this. So I loved, like in 1.6, like when Night's Watch first came out, how they did the cards. You could only like put 2 on them, and then you had to like use the zones to turn them on, like the secondary effect. Mm-hmm. And I like that because then it's like, oh, I got to use the tactics board and, you know, get my cards on the right units how I want them.
Sure.
And then they turned it in there. It's like, oh, we'll just put as many cards on any units and there's no more zone control needed. And they're just good.
Just gas.
Just straight gas.
Remember back when there wasn't a card limit to hands? Night's Watch player would have legitimately mm-hmm. 12 plus cards in their hands
going into then they would
round
just,
2.
And then they would just play them all and just win.
Card vomit on the table. And just absolutely melt. And it was just like, I get that they're supposed to be elite. A, why are they out activating me?
And then
B, like, get all your stupid cards off the table. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it just it made it unfun. Now there's at least counterplay.
Now it's at least like, you want my cards off table? Take them off table. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. You better find a way to gas up some panic.
Because even to like Night's Watch, they still have 5 up morale basically across the board. So it's not like they're gonna just openly fail panic tests. Mm-hmm. My number 2. Oh. Okay, my number 2, this is going to just, it's another nerf, but I enjoy it. Sorry. Corn Half Hand.
Okay, my number 1, Night's Watch cards fall off panic test. My number 2, Corn 1-point attachment is kind of nuts.
I didn't even look at his 1-point. What is his 1-point?
Oh, where are you going?
Oh, no, he's got battle scars and go down fighting. I didn't, so I do like the new battle scars. I haven't mentioned it. There's been multiple attachments that it's changed on. The new one is good, just in general. Mm-hmm. When you make an attack, you just pick one, and then for each of your units destroyed ranks, you get to pick another. So you can actually, you know, use them without having to get attacked and stack them up.
Right. And great, then they great. Also have go down fighting, so...
Yeah.
He wants his unit to start to die,
mm-hmm.
and they're gonna, like, you're gonna pay for killing them.
Mm-hmm.
Both. You're going to pay when they lose the models, and you're going to pay again when they attack back.
Yep. Oh, and don't forget, you have Night's Watch healing still.
Right. So they're going to flirt with about 6 wounds on their unit, 7 wounds on their unit at all times, so that they can play in that 2-to-1 range and just keep mm-hmm. hovering back and forth.
Yeah.
For sure. Uh-huh. No, it's like that. So we'll see, because Belwas has battle scars. He's 1-point. He doesn't have a second ability. I understand we're not supposed to compare across
factions,
but we do.
At this time in the game, I think you can, just with the fact that so many factions have just access to so much of the same stuff.
True.
Where you can look at it and be like, yeah, and make, like, why?
So.
But the thing that I liked.
So you're Corrin Commander.
No, I'm Corrin NCU.
Corrin NCU, yes, that's what I mean.
His His influence, I believe, so his influence changed, which I'll do the bottom part first. When influencing a friendly cavalry or infantry unit, it gains plus one attack dice. It was previously plus one attack dice and plus one movement. Mm-hmm. So he made just units seven. He had, there was a combo. I'm pretty sure like Ranger Hunters were up to like eight.
I'm sure.
They were like eight movement.
That unit has been, like, I don't know how it's been in the last year and a half, but that unit has either been trash. It's either been F tier or S tier.
Yeah. And then they finally
spent very much time at F tier. They finally
made it where it hit its ranged attacks on 4+ with Swift Strike. And it's like, oh, finally.
I do remember seeing that.
That wasn't too long ago. But then the top part of his card, I like the change with this. So it was start of any turn. If Khorne is not on the tactics board, you may destroy him. If you do, target one enemy unit. That enemy unit becomes vulnerable and cannot perform attack or charge actions this round. I like this. How many times have you played where you do your thing and then, because you don't kill Night's Watch players in one turn. Mm-hmm. And you catch the Night's Watch player off guard and then they go, oh, I'm going to just kill Khorne. Or it's like start of the round. So like you end of round, like lead into a unit. And then they're like, oh, I'm going to Khorne. Which obviously you got to play around him. And then they're like, your unit can't do anything. And then I'm going to kill it. Because
absolutely
it's
hung out to dry.
And then it's like, oh, thank you.
Unnecessary overkill. You had no way of saving him.
Mm-hmm.
You could attempt a body block.
Yeah.
That was it. And it was, it's up there with my least favorite things this game's ever done.
Yeah.
I would say, what is the Fire Baratheon chick name? Melisandre?
Mel, yeah.
Yeah. That was my least favorite thing game ever done, where she could just
nuke him from over.
I mean, she was doing the 9 wounds on panic test that we were complaining about with version 1.0 Lannisters.
Yeah, yeah.
A 5, and then I think eventually went to 6-point NCU. It didn't matter. It was basically like that NCU's for most factions, unkillable, and then was just absolutely nuking the battlefield. Orbital bombardment. It's my least favorite thing the game's ever done. Khorne was, I'm pretty sure, my second least favorite thing.
Yeah, it just, they're,
so now
like,
you can
even
at least,
you,
they can the activate. Retreat?
You can retreat.
You're not losing an activation.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You can retreat. You can move. You can march. You can be targeted by the maneuver zone. Old Khorne, could you even heal them?
Yeah, you could heal,
but like that unit couldn't do anything.
Yeah, you could heal them once, like 3 wounds, but if your opponent went first, I mean, they would just kill Khorne, freeze your unit, and then they would either like attack or retreat out themselves. And I don't think your unit could even pivot. Mm-mm. Or something like that.
I don't think
they
could do anything.
I don't think they could do anything. And then
they couldn't move or couldn't.
Since you really, if they just retreated out, you weren't healing. So then you're like, oh, and then they'll be like, well, I'll just take the heal now. And then you're like, okay. And like, down goes my unit.
Yep. And boom goes dynamite. Yeah. I've enjoyed very much the things I've seen thus far.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that is the Night's Watch. There's a ton of Night's Watch changes.
Yeah,
I love them.
A lot of Night's Watch changes. I mean, I can't even get them all in one view on the monitor here.
All right, next up here is going to be
the good guys. What?
The free folk that actually likes.
Yeah, no, I said what I said.
Yeah. I'm
trying to find them over here in the document. All right, here we go.
Can I just find them?
They are below Starks. They're,
yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna start this one because I saw this and I melted a little on the inside and it made me warm and fuzzy. It's the favorite thing I've seen out of all these documents. And I haven't looked too much, but will you look at Spearwives for a minute? Will you just go look at them?
I think I did. What do they got now?
They have a 6 movement. They still have their charging volley.
Yep.
they're 4-4-4 on the spear toss, 7-7-4 on the spear. Enemies successfully charged by this unit become vulnerable. The spear wives, how long have they had a 6 movement?
They just got increased to 6.
Okay. Oh, yeah, duh. We have so notes this, right here.
Yeah, this
face.
Change was them speed increased to 6, and their attack dice were increased from 6-6-4 to 7-7-4.
Okay. Yes. I saw them, and I was like, the Spearwives might have always been my favorite free folk unit. Just the charging volley, you could get a lot of work on them, out of them. They do die very quickly. A 5-7. I think they used to be like a 6-7. But it just made me really happy. I saw these Spear Wives, and so that was my first.
Yeah, note. That's your one thing you like here.
Yes.
For me, there isn't too much that I think actually stood out to me looking at Free Folk. I think a lot of it to me was like quality of life changes, almost like. They like changed an overrun. They reduced a points. They changed a battle scars. They removed the king is dead on Mance Raider, which I don't even remember what that was.
I think
it was what I think Joffrey had. Like you kill him and you get extra VP.
Okay.
I don't, there's not too much where I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Where I'm like over the top. I mean, they just did a lot of like general good stuff. I don't know. To me, it's just like, I'm looking at it, I'm like, yeah, this just all makes life sense. Like
Tormund has the overrun change, which we've already talked about with the mountain.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. Is it Lady Dala?
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce it? The most beautiful card art in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like 100%. Somehow she found a way north of the wall to get highlights in her hair. I'm not asking questions. I'm for it. Maybe she just like bleaches it with snow.
That's one thing that I will say is hers. So she just went in a, she had a points decrease from 5 to 4. She is like, I played against her. She's kind of underrated good.
I don't even know what she does. I didn't make it past the card art.
I mean, it's basically like claim a specific zone, do a type of thing.
Okay.
I mean, at 5 points, I thought for Free Folk she made sense because I hate that Free Folk have very budget-friendly NCUs. To me, that breaks it a bit.
So
like,
she's not replacing the zone. She's just getting bonuses from the zone.
Yes.
Each time Dala claims a zone, perform the following based on the zone she claimed. Crown, someone becomes weakened, wealth. Instead of removing condition token, target one enemy, engage with that unit. They suffer 1 hit +1 for each remaining rank in this unit. That's nice.
So just auto hits, yeah.
Especially like if no one's taken wounds yet, but you happen, like you charged late.
Or even for like the weird like wolves that are running around or like... You have just like obligatory wounds left on a thing.
Well, and
you
you're still healing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're just the condition.
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You still heal.
You still heal. Mm-hmm. But instead of the remove a condition token, you just get to do the hit things. So if you're like, if you want to block the heal, like you're just okay. Yeah. Yeah. Tactic zone. Instead of drawing cards, look at the top 2 cards of your opponent's tactic deck. You may discard one of those cards, then place the remaining cards on the top of the tactics deck. Remaining cards. That should be remaining card.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Little typo there. Yeah, that's cool stuff.
Yeah, she's good. She's good for 4 points.
Final thing, I want to talk about Free Folk, and it also does affect Night's Watch, is Craster. He only is healing wounds to infantry units now.
Yep.
So no giants. No cav, no monsters.
No cold hands.
That's
Marshall.
That's fine. His heal was coming from his loins anyways, so you know, it makes sense he just kept making babies. I don't believe that, you know, where his heals came from, but yeah. Laugh at my jokes, damn it. all right. Neutrals?
Oh.
Neutrals.
Yes, on to the neutrals. A lot of awesomeness in this one.
Oh, hey, Meg the Mighty has Overrun also, I just saw.
Yeah, okay. There's just so many different things with Overrun. Let's see here. Neutrals, starting us off here. My first one, we'll just start with... We'll do the NCUs first. I think we both might have the second one. It's the same, so we'll do that one second.
Okay, okay.
I like Walder Frey. I like his changes.
Okay, Walder Frey is my number two.
He's my number two too, I should say.
Okay, so I think we have the same... Do we have the same number one and number two?
Probably. Okay. So, Walder Frey has had a tumultuous time in this game. I remember when he first released, he had the turn off an NCU,
I miss this so much. I think our notes are almost exactly the same here.
So like, that was so strong back in the day, because if you took, like, you would take him to fight the other NCUs, and then if you didn't take him, you're like, damn it, my NCUs are just turned off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every round, he'd just pick one that needs to be turned off and turned off.
Yep.
It was strong. He was 5 points. It was strong, but he was in every list because he was the only person that could contain those NCUs that just did crazy shit.
Yeah.
Like, yep. you had to take him.
Yep.
And if you didn't, you were definitely at disadvantage.
He was 5 points in, you know, I'm old. Uh-huh. He was 5 points back in the land of 3-point NCUs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm hoping there's going to be someone that listens to this that never saw a 3-point NCU. The game used to be riddled with them.
I'm going to be honest here. I didn't mind the 3-point NCUs. But like, they were all...
I didn't
strong.
Until the NCUs got too good.
They got too good. They just got too good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like,
I wish all NCUs would be 3 points, but they suck. All
right. So let's talk about what Walder does here real quick, and then I'll give you my note.
So once per game, when he claims a zone, you may replace the zone's effect with choosing two. One enemy takes all three different tokens. One friendly unit restores 3 wounds. At the start of the next round, you become the first player. So you basically, in theory, you're going to want to play him with you're tokening a thing, healing a thing, and then you're going to pick the be the first player.
Yep.
Like, that's the deal. Like, you want to do one of those two, and then you're going to pick that third one.
Unless you're already the first player.
You're true. You could use him defensively to be like, oh, you just dunked on a unit.
No, because you're already first player. You're probably saving him for first player. I'm not disagreeing with you.
I mean, the thing is you could use it where, oh, you attacked me hard and the wealth's blocked. I have no way to heal. You might follow up with something small that can kill me. Like, oh, the thing that can follow up with me, I'm healing 3 units. I'm putting all the tokens on you.
Right.
You're not going to kill me.
In case of emergency, break glass.
Yep.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Yep.
But yeah, you're going to use it to become...
So that last ability comes from the addition of the game that was like, oh, if he's the last activation and claims the zone, mm-hmm. you're first player. I don't remember what it was. It was one of the reasons I quit playing.
Yeah.
So here's my note on Walder Frey. Do you remember what specifically you said when you started talking about him?
He's had a tumultuous time in this game.
Yes. Okay. My note on Walder Frey is I don't hate Walder Frey for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've always hated yep. what they've done with this NCU.
Yep.
This is the first time where I've been like, it makes sense. It's once per... Is he overcosted at 5? He has a once per game ability.
That second point is really strong, though, because you're basically going first 2 rounds in a row.
That's true.
Using that correctly. Mm-hmm. That's strong. I mean...
It is very strong. It's very... But we've never looked at a Walder Frey and even questioned if he was undercosted.
Yeah.
We've looked at Walder Frey and been like, you can make him 10 damn points. People are going to run him.
Well... I don't think in his last iteration, he was just never played because...
I probably didn't see his last iteration.
No. I mean, you saw his last one is basically if he goes last and claims the crown, you become first player,
I remember that, and you had to constantly protect against it.
Nobody played him, though, because you literally had to make, like... You could just game it where you're like, oh, you have 3 NCUs. I have 3 NCUs. Awesome. All 3 of mine are going to go on the board. Now you have to keep one off anyways if you want to get Walder on. And you could just block the crown.
So,
like, he was easy to play around, yet he was absurd.
Maybe it was a bigger problem for me because I've always hated 3 NCUs. I stuck out two NCUs almost all. I hated three NCUs. Once again, to me, the NCUs are not what the game, you know, like, I understand they're a part. They're an awesome part. It is a very cool thing that this game does. But at the same time, Cersei Lannister's not winning the damn battle.
Yeah.
She's not winning every battle. Walter Frey's just changing his mind on who he sides with so that he can win a battle. So, yes, NCUs, higher cost, do less stuff, I'm all for it. Okay, on our other point, I know this was the only thing we mentioned before we started recording. I was fangirling over here. Bloody Mummer Skirmishers.
Yes.
Are they good? Yep.
But they might actually be good now.
One thing I realized, because I'm in my note, I put BMS might be their time, and I realized that Bloody Mummer Skirmishes and Blue Mountain State have the same. if I needed a reason to like Bloody Mummer Skirmishers even more.
Yeah, no, for sure. They are super good. They basically got an extra one to hit and six movement. They went up with movement. Oh, and they got some dice.
For me, they it might be the favorite. My favorite thing I've ever painted is my unit of Bloody Mummer Skirmishes. Warhammer, D&D, Song of Ice and Fire. My Bloody Mummer Skirmishes might be my favorite thing I've ever played or painted. In when I put them in a list, I'm literally going, it's only because you're pretty. And that's it.
I've never painted mine. So, but like, yeah, the sculpts are cool. Everything about them has been cool. But now it's like, oh, they have the actual movement to, you know, be fast. And instead of being like, oh, we're a 6-point unit that hits on fours, we're like, no, we're bringing the offense.
This makes sense. That case when your overrun turns into a march instead, even if you have a viable target to overrun. You might march Bloody Mummer Skirmishers. You're getting 12 inches. And if you can, you know, get a flank or whatever, you got the lead next round. And you're like, here we go. I'm bringing these into someone's flank or rear. And then I'm going to weaken them. They're not going to be able to hit me. They're going to get counter-striked, disrupt. You know, probably attacking twice. Like, yeah. And then I don't know what attachments, but there's probably something that goes real well in these guys right now.
Yeah, for sure. There's something out there. Heck, even some of these battle scarred people.
5-7 defense morale. So they will die.
They can melt.
Will die quickly. They're 7-6-5 on 3+, but if you can get those weekend tokens out there, like that really helps that 7-5 out.
Yep. All right, why don't we jump into Targaryens now? You lead us off with this, and I will be right back.
All right, well, I'm going to tell all you guys why Dakota's terrible. We'll see if he listens this episode or not. Probably not. Okay, Targs, Belwas. Wait, what is my note here? Oh, besides Belwas and Overrun. All right, so we have Belwas. Targs have overrun as a basics tactics card. So, once again, that surge forth charge could be a march. The Targ overrun is not character specific. It is maneuver zone specific. So. Yes, and then battle scars. Changes the battle scars on Belwas. We already talked about it with Corrin. It's awesome. I really like that battle scars. Battle scars, I've liked the idea of battle scars since they've put it into the game. I don't know if I've ever liked the execution of battle scars. So, I like it. You get one of these abilities no matter who has what ranks. Plain and simple. And then if you are outnumbered, you get to fight back a little better. Awesome.
Yep. All right, I am back. So you said Belwas and
Belwas and Overrun. Or what Overrun. I was pointing out thus far, because it is it's a basic, it's a general Targ card. So I mean, it's going to affect you basically 100% of the time.
Yeah.
With the exception of when Targ's commanders swap out some of their cards. Someone swaps out Overrun, or they used to. I don't.
Yeah, I don't know which one does either. If I was going to point out two
Think
things,
Jorah. Jorah, I think Jorah used to swap out Overrun.
I think so. I'm a huge fan of there's your basic, the most I'm a fan of is the basic unit card changes. Fire and Blood and Unstoppable Advance. These are just two small changes. I'm not even sure what's changing on them, honestly. I'm pretty sure it's just like their abilities, if I'm not mistaken. Because I remember seeing this and reading them and going, man, those are just two good cards. Which is basically one's the Fire and Blood melee attack buff. So you take your whatever unit and you're gonna get Sundering Vicious. Or you're gonna, if you have the horse, you get to choose two. You choose one, horses choose two. So basically, reroll any misses, Thundering Vicious. I mean, that's just a generally good card. I mean, that's almost like the Baratheon's Ours of the Fury. You know, oh, you control this zone, pick two, or pick two of the three. And then Unstoppable Advance. I remember this card being the I'm gonna just move over terrain and break the terrain. Correct.
It was that. It was additional movement. It attached for the round, I
It was
think.
something I don't remember specifically. I just remember I'm pretty sure it was the card that was you would be like,
Like
"Oh,
you
I'm gonna
ignore hindering and rough, and then if you anything you touch that's destructible gets destructed.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, like you're just breaking the game, you know. I like it. I think it's very simple. I think it's fine because it's you get two things to it. You can just reroll charge distance dice, which Targaryens, that's what you're gonna do. I mean, how many games did you play in like 1.6 where you'd lose the game because you're like, I need to roll a six and I rolled a four. And then you're like, well, my army's dead.
Or you rolled a two, or you needed a one and rolled a one, and you're just like, bro, you could have rolled anything else. And then, especially if you have a perform in a melee, a Fire and Blood, like,
Exactly.
or an overrun. It killed overrun. It killed orders. It all these things. Just to go back on what we were talking about real quick, Fainting Maneuver by Jorah Mormont removes overrun.
Okay, gotcha. And then even the second part, like I said, I don't remember what's changing on this card completely, but then the I do like the whole second part as well. When you surge forth, you get 3 extra inches of movement during your maneuver, which is great, you know, for Targaryens because like, oh, you kill the unit, I need to be able to make sure I'm slipping past your flank, getting out of your line of sight. And then it now has the kicker all after moving, all enemies in short range become weakened. So, I mean, you're taking this army that's generally pretty flimsy, like
Especially
save
when I
wise.
throw Bloody Mummer skirmishers in there.
And then you're like, oh no, we're pretty solid now.
You might be able to, you play your cards right, pun intended. You might dish out 3 weaken tokens here. It's like cool.
All right.
And then
Who is in...
assault orders was my next one here, the Khal Drogo
Oh,
assault
yeah.
orders. When a friendly NCU claims a zone, replace that zone's effect with one friendly combat unit may perform one melee attack action. If this target's Khal Drogo's unit, it may instead perform a charge action. And then there are notes on here. Most of the changes done here were to open up the ease of use with these cards, reducing some of the stringent and situational benefits that weighed some of these cards down. I think we're seeing that on multiple cards here. We've already talked about it with Overrun. You never wanted to discard it, but a lot of times you had to discard it because you're like, it's not going to do me any good. Well, at least now it's got a march, which you may say, I want to march 0 inches and pivot. Like, well, I guess that was an option before Surge Forth, but
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I
he
get what you're
gets
saying.
march. Okay.
The I was gonna say the assault orders. So this is, might be the first time too in the game that every assault orders card actually is the same. There's like four or five different armies with assault orders, and actually they were all, so the Starks had this version that's limited. Basically one unit performs a melee attack unless kicker occurs, it's a charge action.
Right.
You know, Drogo's was like, you perform an attack, which, you know, you have freaking Dothraki vets that can like shoot and fight, like shoot and charge or whatever their thing was. I don't remember. Or, you know, other, you know, you could just stack it essentially with something. Right.
But now it's where melee attack.
Which I think it's just a clean because it's like, oh, why is it shooting? You know, there's even... It
seems less abusive for sure.
There's also two people that are getting Courtney Penrose. He has it with Might of the Crown, which a few other people, Kevin Lannister, he has it on Might of the Crown. His was also attack or charge, which you would just put those guys into crossbows, and your attack would be them shooting with their crossbows. Mm-hmm. So you would take the crown, shoot, your opponent then has to block swords, and then you get to do whatever you want on the tactic zone. If they don't block swords, like say they heal, well, you just shoot again.
Or
and
like
it becomes that whole like, I'm going to shoot you six times.
Put them in a Bastards Girls. I shoot once, yep. I shift up two. I shoot again, I shift up two. You know.
Yeah. And then you finally shoot and charge.
All right. Is that one of your Baratheon picks?
No.
Okay. Well, let's move on to Baratheons then.
On to Baratheons. Like I just said, we just talked about Might of the Throne, but I'm not talking about them. And I already talked about Resilience on Rainbow Garden. Not talking about them. Super excited that frickin' Kingsmen don't look like trash now. So, well, Kingsmen and Queensmen, they're going to be my... Well, I guess I have three. Kingsmen and Queensmen, they're lumped together. So they used to always have the Kingsblade and Queensblade, which always revolved off of like using tactics cards on the unit.
Okay.
Actually, I don't know if you remember that, but yeah, it was like, oh, you make a melee attack, you can like fish for an Arses of Fury and play it.
Yes.
And it's like, that's cool and all, but you know, my ass just disordered that charge or, you know, XYZ. So they, even in their notes here, they've changed it. Instead
you
of
have
these,
like both of Arses of Fury in your hand.
Yeah. And you're like,
this does me nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. They've had a few iterations, but like it's generally sucked because it's card based.
Okay.
The Queensmen had it where it was like super good, where like you attack the unit and then they get to play like the healing card on themselves when they passed a morale test. And it was just like kind of oppressive. Like they were just chonky as fuck.
Sure. Sure.
But now they just made it where it's anti zone control. So they gave him an ability. So like Kingsblade has Sundering. And then the second point is while your opponent does not control the crown, this attack gains critical blow and may reroll any attack dice.
Man, you throw,
yeah,
you throw Penrose in those guys, that attachment that gets to attack with the crown.
Well, Penrose can't attach to them because Stannis loyalties. He's Renly loyalty.
Oh, that's good.
But what you do, no, but what you do actually, the combo wise, is you take Baelish and Florent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you take Axel Florent because Axel Florent gets three tokens. When after he claims a zone, you may expend a token, move him to a zone. So you can like use your zone, move him to the crown, or if an enemy NCU is on that zone, you can swap them.
Wait, Axel Florent, the NCU?
No, Alistair Florent, sorry.
Alistair Florent, okay, okay.
Yeah, he's an NCU, he's not on this, because he didn't change.
Okay.
So basically, you take them together, and then you're like, oh, you're never going to control Crown for more than a turn.
Yeah,
crit blow, and you just
roll, baby.
With Sundering. And then the Queensmen, on the other hand, theirs is, they got Hold the Line, which is just generally good, because they're tanky. Theirs is, while the opponent does not control the Crown, while you're... Opponent does not control the crown zone. Opponents cannot expend vulnerable or panic tokens on this unit.
That's wild. Which,
that is super wild, super because you're just good. Like, I'm a 3-up save with no 3-up save, 5-up morale.
I mean, you might have an opponent that, you know, that's kind of their gas is,
yeah,
you know, panics and vulnerables, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. yeah, that might be their gas, and you're like, well, I'm gonna send these there, and just kind of, nope.
Yep, and then they still both have their to the last, where like they die, they pass them around tests, they don't die. Mm-hmm. So like they got some gas with them. That's like my one, even though it's kind of a two. But I did want to touch on the Faithful, which the Faithful have the same type of glow up as Skirmishers almost, where okay. not as hard because they didn't give them. They didn't just give them a 3+ to hit. They gave them an ability to get to 3+ to hit, and yeah. they gave them 6 movement, and they helped their attack dice. They got a lot of the same stuff, mm-hmm. and it's like they're almost a similar type of unit. This like glass cannony, I'm going to send it in, do some damage. I might die.
Right.
It works. Because they have the faith token still. When you make an attack, or you can trigger them at different times, but the first one is when you make an attack before rolling attack dice, +1 to hit and vicious. After this unit completes a melee attack, this unit restores 1 wound, +1 wound for each of the defender's destroyed ranks. And then when this unit performs a charge action after rolling charge dice, this unit may reroll charge distance dice, and any enemy units they successfully charge become panicked. So you get like 3 panic tokens on these guys. You can charge, panic them, vicious.
3 faith tokens.
For 3 faith tokens. It's a lot.
You said panic tokens.
Oh, no, no.
I was you can put multiple panic tokens on a unit now?
No. You put faith tokens on yourself, but you expend the faith tokens to get those abilities. Yeah,
you said if you get 3 panic tokens on these guys.
Oh, sorry. No, yeah, get 3 faith tokens. But, like, that's super good. Oh, and the cool thing is you can stack the healing with, like, Fueled by Slaughter.
Right,
they're 2 different abilities. Right, so right. All of a sudden, like, you throw, I think Ramsey has it, Ramsey and these guys on them. I'm not saying that you won't kill this unit, but they'll heal like 6 on last rank.
Sure.
You know, it's chunky.
Chunky.
But those are my 3 favorite Baratheon picks. I don't know what you got, if any.
I actually did not get an opportunity to look at the Baratheons.
No. Yeah. They had a few other things. Even the Noble solid. He went from like this just annoying thing to actually a support piece now that you want to take.
Brienne has the battle scars.
Yep, and Brienne has battle scars.
Which is cool.
Yeah, that version had it before, but yeah, now she has it for 1 point, and you're like, oh, that's just great in like wardens. I can reroll attack dice on my wardens, mm-hmm. or I can get vicious. It's good. All right, so that's Baratheons. On to the Greyjoys.
The Greyjoys. All right.
They had quite a few changes. Victyrion, he had an overrun change, like we've talked about. Dagmar had the battle scars change, like we talked about. If you know, a decent amount of other stuff. Carl, what would you say? I don't know if you've looked at Greyjoys too much. What would you say are your favorite changes?
I have not gotten much opportunity to look at them. I was trying to check out some of the units.
Mm-hmm.
We see that like Black Tide Chosen has gotten a point reduction from 7 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Added a couple abilities here. First yep. claim, each time a friendly NCU claims the wealth, 1 Black Tide Chosen unit gains 1 pillage token. While this unit has 2 pillage tokens, all friendly units in short range gain +1 to morale test rolls and suffer -1 wound from failing panic test. I like that ability.
Oh.
It requires 2 tokens to do it, so they can't just have it immediately.
Uh-huh. One question I have for you, actually. Do you know what panic tokens just in general do right now?
Oh, do panic tokens do something different?
So, yeah, panic tokens have completely changed, I'm pretty sure, which I could be wrong because I haven't played in a while, but I am pretty sure that panic token, or the pillage token, sorry, it's like...
Wait, pillage or panic?
Pillage tokens.
Okay, I was like, panic tokens changed... I was going and looking.
Oh, let okay. me.
I am not aware of what the.
Oh, where can I find what? Like, do. Where's just this general card going to be at? I'm pretty sure that the pillage tokens now, they have like, with one pillage token, you're like plus one to hit. With two pillage tokens, you're like plus one attack dice.
Right, so Raiders of the Iron Islands, this is first one of their tactics cards here. Each time a House Greyjoy unit destroys an enemy rank with a melee attack, it gains a pillage token and may have up two pillage tokens. Same, it's always been.
No, that's on the tactics cards, yeah, but I'm pretty sure they have like a, like an army rule basically that says pillage tokens do this. Like pillage tokens aren't just like we're on the units and they get a buff from them, but I'm pretty sure also pillage tokens just like do a thing.
Do we go about finding that piece of information?
We would want to go to the documents, I believe, and to the Greyjoy's tactics cards, potentially.
Are you in the app here?
I'm on the website now. I was on the app. I didn't know where to go. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So they have Raiders of the Iron Islands. Did you say that or no?
All right.
There's a Greyjoy special rules. If you go to the
documents, Greyjoy's. Let's go ahead and pull these up here. All right.
Is this what you saw? I don't remember if this is what you were saying or not. So their special rule: each time a House Greyjoy unit each time a House Greyjoy unit destroys an enemy rank with a melee attack, gains one pillage token. Unit may have up to two pillage tokens at any time. That unit gains the following based on the number of pillage tokens. So plus one to morale test, two of them, plus one attack die.
Okay.
So just, you always have to preface that's that when you're thinking of these
pillage tokens. Plus one morale test, plus one attack die. Okay.
I think they have to have the ability to hold pillage tokens. Maybe? No, I think they all just get pillage.
I don't see anything on actually, Black
Tide. So they can all just get pillage.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then they get a additional bonus from pillage tokens. So they would have plus one to morale test, plus one to attack die. Friendly units within short range gain plus one to morale test, including themselves, and suffer minus one from failing panic test. So then you have really one pillage token on someone. They're in short range of these dudes. They have two pillage tokens, and now both of them are a plus two to morale test, minus one to wound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
cool.
Sorry, got to take the Greyjoy pillage token shenanigans with the thing because it's not as just straightforward as you would think it is because they gave them that special rule. I did want to remind you that before we kind of kept moving.
I like that with the Greyjoys. You just know what they do. You don't have to worry about what each individual unit does when they have a pillage token.
No, that's correct. Cool. Yeah. That was last season. I was going to say the Black Tide Chosen, I like their ability just because they're actually passing out pillage on a thing that needs it. I don't know how much everybody needs it, but
around pillage or they can grab a pillage.
Yeah.
They could move that pillage token to themselves.
Yep.
So, neato.
And then I'm going to go back to the basic tactics cards. The second one that I'm a fan of is Finger Dance.
Okay.
So this used to just be, from my recollection, when one unit performs an attack, they make the target vulnerable. And I think like they themselves become vulnerable, something of that nature.
I do not remember.
Yeah, it was kind of abusive. So basically you'd put down your bowman, they would shoot, they'd vulnerable to the thing they're shooting at, even though their shooting is crap. But
they got rerolls when attacking vulnerable targets.
So they like got really good. And then like they themselves would like become vulnerable or something like that. I don't remember for sure.
Yeah, because you never and it's like about it doesn't them being vulnerable.
Yeah, so it was just like,
they were basically shooting vulnerable tokens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do remember that.
So I think this they cleaned it up to just be more of the we're not just shooting, it's melee now.
Uh-huh.
And it's different. You can suffer two wounds for each wound, up to two wounds for each wound, you pick one. Okay. And there's three different options: panicked, vulnerable, reroll attack dice. So it's kind of just falling in line like with everybody of like pick three.
Right.
Pick two of the three.
attacker may suffer up to 2 wounds. Okay, so you could do this twice, picking up 2 one time and 1 the other time and never lose a rank.
Yep.
Or if you have a ranged unit that has the same amount of dice on ranks 1.
Well, it's melee attack.
Oh, yeah. Either way, a melee unit that has the same amount of dice on each rank.
Uh-huh.
You could,
I mean, you even know, too, you put this on like the Chosen, for instance, because I see them here. Okay, they and so, yeah, they're now 4+ to hit, but they're now just always rerolling attack dice. They'll take 1 wound and reroll attack dice.
I wonder if they have any ability to siphon heals.
Oh, Greyjoys have a ton of heals from my recollection.
Yeah, take the wounds, do better stuff. You're going to have heals anyhow.
Yeah, Aaron Greyjoy, I think he's the first NCU on here. I don't know what changed with him. But he's an influence while influencing a unit. When that unit performs an action before resolving that action, it restores 1 wound. Each time it destroys an enemy rank with a melee attack, it restores 1 wound. So you influence him on even just Black Tide Chosen. You take 2 wounds. You put out a panicked and vulnerable. Say you're charging, for instance, because you already have rerolls. You probably are going to kill a rank. So you're going to heal 1 from doing the action, and then you'll heal 1 for killing a rank, and you'll just negate the 2 wounds you took.
While attached, before attack dice are rolled. So the 1 heal would be prior to you taking the wounds.
Okay, well, you're healing 1. But
you're still getting 1 back. In the next turn, you're going to heal 1, take 2, heal 1.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And Greyjoys in their basic deck, I'm pretty sure, have a free attack card, if I do recall.
Interesting.
So, I mean, yeah, you start just doing actions and attacking with...
But, that's okay, because they're spending a lot of resources to...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's
the thing, like, I don't mind it when somebody stacks up a lot of stuff to, like, do stuff.
Right.
Like, it's everybody's trying to do
that. When they do a lot of stuff with stacking up very little stuff is...
Yeah, that's when it's a problem.
Yeah. All right. And finally, the Martells. I think there's overall less here just because they are a newer.
Yeah. Faction. I'll be honest, I've never played against them. Don't really know a ton about them.
Played, period.
I've barely seen them play.
Picked a couple of things.
Uh-huh.
I really like their NCUs.
Oh, their NCUs are nerfed and they're still great.
Okay. Well, I like these NCUs. I like Duran Martell and Eliara Sand.
Mm-hmm.
Duran Martell, each time Duran, first off, he's commander NCU, one in the game,
correct? Yeah,
okay. But he has a proxy on on the tactics board for him. Each time he claims a zone, he may replace the effect with choose 1 Hotaj unit, which is his proxy, may pivot then perform 1 march action. Hotaj unit may perform 1 retreat action.
Yep.
So really just guiding his proxy.
Yeah.
And I think it's a cool mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
But you just can't have too much of it in the game or it becomes not cool.
Yeah. Alaria Sand, her old ability was like remove 1 token, place 2 tokens. Like, it was cranked. It might not have been that, but I know it was good. She got toned down a little bit, which that's fine.
It's a useful ability. She's claiming a zone, she's doing whatever the zone is, and then she's targeting a friendly unit and removing a condition token.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I'd like to remember specifically what her old card was, because she's definitely toned down for 4 points.
Okay.
Because I do think it was like remove 1, place 2 type of deal. Which spirals, obviously.
Alright. I guess we do have Boltons to finish this out, but they only have 1 thing, and they have this inner circle thing, which is about how you play them.
Mm-hmm.
I skimmed it, didn't fully understand it, and I was like, I'm not going to worry about this right now.
So to explain it a little bit, Boltons couldn't prior take neutral units. They could only take Bolton. If that makes sense.
They couldn't take regular neutral units?
Correct. Oh, they could not take...
That's weird.
They couldn't take neutrals. So I'm pretty sure. Don't... If you guys quote me on that and I'm wrong, I'm sorry. That's what I remember. So this is basically like unlocking it so you can actually use neutrals with Boltons. Because they were like, oh, we just realized that limits this faction too much. Which... I don't know, I'm mixed on, because they released this as like a mini faction anyways to basically be like, it's going to have all the abilities as a full-fledged faction. Mm-hmm. You know, I get limiting it in a way, but I mean, obviously you want it playable. Basically, the only thing is you can't do like neutral versions of the Bolton stuff. So like, you can't take neutral roofs and...
Oh, yeah. If it has a Bolton version, you have to take the Bolton version.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes. That is here on their little inner circle thing, but yes.
Yep. Yeah. And then I'll be honest. I don't know what changed with Talbot.
I don't know what changed with him either. He, as of right now, 2 order tokens. Each time enemy into you activates, if Tybold is not on Texas board, you may remove an order token. If you do, target one zone. If that NCU claims that zone, after resolving that zone's effect, one enemy combat unit becomes vulnerable. If that NCU does not claim a zone, that zone does not claim that zone this turn. At the end of the turn, Tybold claims that zone. So, once again, we're talking about these, you know, NCUs picking zones and then people, mm-hmm. you know, it having super crazy shitty effects. A vulnerable token's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Unless for some reason they have, you know, a vulnerable engine that you don't want them to have going,
uh-huh.
or you have a unit that's supposed to be tanky and you're worried about a vulnerable token taking them off the table.
Yeah.
Vulnerable token's not that bad. Yep. If they don't claim that zone, they're pulling an activation out of you.
Does he get to, since he's claiming the zone, this is my question, does he get to use the effects of that zone?
I was under the impression that he did. He's claiming the zone. He does the zone.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. That's...
I don't think it just forces him onto the board and blocks the zone. I think if it did that, it would say that. But he's claiming his own, and claiming his own means this thing. I don't think it has to be your turn.
Doesn't have to be your bowl.
Yeah. I would be under the impression that he gets to do the thing on the zone.
Okay, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it would make sense. I'm just asking that because I don't know.
Which, once again, if he picks a zone you want, or you don't want them to take, like, mm-hmm. he's basically telegraphing, I'm taking the zone. So yep. you either block it and become vulnerable, or I take that zone.
Uh-huh. I mean, there's simple plays with it, like start a round. Your enemy goes first, and you're like, oh, you take the tactic zone, I'm going to vulnerable you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your opponent then's going to go, I'm going to take it and I'll just eat the vulnerable, but it's like it's opening the swords up for you in a way, you know, like maybe your opponent wanted to go swords or, you know, or heal or something of that nature.
Crown.
Yeah. You know. It's adding some of that maneuverability mm-hmm. to the counterplay. But
yeah, like if you know your opponent wants the crown to start the round,
mm-hmm.
Is there a play where you don't put this on the crown? You put it somewhere else because they don't want you to take that one? Well, no, because if they take the crown, you're going to take that one anyways.
Yeah.
But,
I mean,
you would have Tybald go to the zone he wants, and then it's your turn and you activate another NCU. You could get 2 NCUs out of the thing.
Yeah. I mean, you're basically double zoning before they can.
Which, depending on the round, like.
Well, if your opponent's going first, it completely flips the like NCU dynamic of like 3 NCU versus 3 NCU.
Yeah.
Because if you're first and you have 3, you'll get all 3 on. But if you're second, you have three, you only get two off.
So you're first, and I do this.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't take my zone, maybe you don't have any wounds, right? And, like, I want you, I pick the wealth. So it's like you kind of have to take the wealth now. Or mm-hmm.
or it's like you're...
Or I'm going to grab like tactics and combat.
Well, maybe it's like round three, and you have one unit that's engaged with a few wounds left. And you're like, I can heal him, or I can attack and maybe kill this other thing with a few wounds left. I mean, I'm setting up the stage here. And he's like, I'm going to put down the horse. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I need to retreat or maneuver something. But like my unit can just die then. You know what I'm saying?
My thought process was off in that last train of thought too. He only claims a zone if they don't claim the zone he said he was going to claim. But,
right.
But yeah, I mean...
It's just like
in that scenario, they're getting double tap NCUs.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a tempo play on those NCUs where it's like, oh, I know you really, really want to do this. I'm going to not let you do it.
Mm-hmm. Neato, neato. Well, we got anything else here?
No, I mean, that's it. I mean, we kind of ran through everything. It took a little bit longer than I even thought to run through all these, even though we just picked mostly two for them.
Mucho ditto.
Seeing that there's, what, 9 factions now? 10 factions?
10, yes.
Yeah. So, it took a little bit longer, but we bared through it. We'll probably go through at some point and do maybe like a faction overview type of thing where we kind of encompass more of these changes and just the faction in general.
Mm-hmm.
So that like you get more perspective on what it means and how you can use the stuff. So, yeah. So keep an eye out for those.
All right. Well, I think that's it.
Awesome. Yep. Don't forget, if you're listening to us on a podcast right now, check out our YouTube channel. Like a video. Don't care which one. Just go on and like a video and subscribe. If you are watching this on YouTube, because it does get cross-posted, like this video. Go find another one. Like and comment. If you can figure out what comments, you'll check out some comments, comment on some videos, have fun.
Yes. There may be Easter eggs in some of our comments.
Yeah, there could be some Easter eggs in comments.
All right, well, thanks for hanging out, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.